Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. This week, our guest is the CEO and editor of the Nevada Independent and the go-to source on anything in the Silver State, John Ralston. Now, remember, we love taking your questions, so write into politicswarroom at gmail.com or send a tweet to @Politicon for next week's show. We'll get to as many as we can, but don't forget to tell us where you're from. Before we get started, get out your calendars. James and I are taking Politics War Room on tour. So come and see us at Boston's Schubert Theater on November 2nd. Get tickets at politicon.com/tour. And we can't wait to see you there. In other exciting news, the documentary Carville Winning is Everything Stupid is out now. Get updates and some great behind-the-scenes content by following James on Twitter at James Carville and on his new TikTok at Real James Carville. You also can get text updates about what's next for Politicon and Politics War Room by signing up at politicon.com. Tell your friends about us and remind them to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Please check out the links to our sponsors, ExpressVPN, Miracle Made, and The Washington Post. We thank you for supporting these sponsors. It really helps make this podcast happen. James, I want to sound what I fear may be a serious alarm. Hurricane Milton on top of Helene is creating one of the worst national disasters probably in our history. An overwhelmed FEMA is doing, by almost every honest account, a really good job working with state and local officials. But Trump, with his lies and whipping other Republicans to echo his demagoguery about what a failure this is, I worry may be winning the narrative. Joe Biden simply is insufficient as a counter. He doesn't have credibility. And Kamala Harris, at this stage, a month out, doesn't need to be getting into a pissing contest with Ron DeSantis. They need to get someone immediately in charge, holding press conferences at least daily, refuting the lies that the Trump people are saying, marshaling resources, coordinating the tens of thousands of troops that are going to be necessary in coming weeks. I would take a look at outsiders like General David Petraeus or General Stanley McChrystal, or a really talented insider, Admiral John Kirby. It has to be done immediately. If they lose this narrative, James, I think that there's going to be deep trouble on November 5th.
I agree with the thrust of where you're going. I thought about it, and I actually think that I have the perfect name. Mitch Landrieu. All right? He's already there. He's working. Put him there. He was the mayor of 8 years and probably had four hurricanes he dealt with. He was assigned to be in charge of the National Guard when he was lieutenant governor. He's the best communicator in the Democratic Party. He knows politics. He knows bullshit. And why have him going around the country as some half-assed surrogate when you can put him right there? You're right. I agree with the thrust. You got to have somebody every morning, 9 o'clock, having a briefing, knocking this shit down, having an operation, putting stuff up, knocking every part of it down. So I you know, we can discuss the names, but
I endorse your suggestion, James.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry. Okay, you came up with the concept, and you were right. We talked last night, and you said you can feel this shit coming. And this really conservative congressman from North Carolina had to say, this is all bullshit. They're just putting – and now, of course, the Jews are behind it. They're behind the hurricane because the name of the hurricane is Milton. So, obviously, I mean, it's all such – crazy bullshit, but what we know is that the most dangerous statement that anybody can utter in modern America is, Oh, come on, man. No one's going to believe that shit. Yeah, they're going to believe that shit.
Yep.
Nope. Once you say that, you're dead. I hate to say it. I said it before. I now see the error of my ways. You have to knock this, all this shit down. I it took me a while to learn my lesson, but shit, I learned it. I'll give myself credit for that.
Well, we're in total agreement. I think Mitch Landrieu would be terrific. You know, he's actually a better communicator than any of the others. I turn to the others because I think it is going to require tens of thousands of troops. I mean, there's no way in the world you can do this without that.
They have talented people in the National Guard. They have talented people in the FEMA director, by all accounts, is an extremely talented person. You need a political person.
You need a communicator.
You're a communicator. That's what you need. A legit logistics people, the Amazon people can do the logistics. I'm not saying that they have plenty of people that currently serve in the United States government that are beyond capable of doing this. What they don't have out front is somebody that understands this at more than a rudimentary level, that understands communications at the highest level possible, that's connected to everybody in the administration, and you know that's. But your thought is exactly right. This shit has to be knocked down and crushed at its inception, because they're starting to bullshit already. You can feel it coming. Watch out.
And they lie like mad, and you know, even some honest Republican congressmen, one in North Carolina, Tom Tillis, but they've whipped some others into shape. Mike Johnson is out there saying it's the worst response. I mean, I'll take your suggestion in a minute. Mitch Landrieu out there every morning and maybe every afternoon.
And by the way, Mitch would say this, Bach. Can have him on anytime they want to.
Yep.
He'll go on Fox anytime they want him.
Yep.
Understand that. If you're going to air it, be sure that you call me because I'm going to go on there. And they're not going to fuck with him.
Well, no, they're just not going to call him because he's too good, right?
No, they're going to call him. But again, you can say if they would have, I had a standing invitation for Fox, I would go on there and, you know, they ran a story after they asked me. This is what I'd have told. You can be proactive, be aggressive. That's the fucking rule of this world today. Trump is, you know, so more than Mark Twain said, a lie can go around the world twice before the truth can get its shoes on. I mean, think about that. And how fucking Mark Twain might have been the smartest fucking American that ever lived. I'm sorry. I think you could make the case.
Well, you have to do it now, not next week. Now, I mean, there's only
no
time to waste.
The lie is going around the world. You're trying to put your shoes on.
Right.
You better get them on quick.
Well,
I agree. I agree. I hope that this discussion reaches the White House. And this is not something that we're doing, some shtick we're doing to like be kind of provocative and edges or something. I think that we can say both of us really believe this.
Affects people's lives. It's not just politics. What Trump and company are doing are endangering people's lives. And so you're right. I mean, certainly it has a political implication. But and what you're talking about is not – you're talking about leveling with people and talking about the job that FEMA and state and local and troops are doing anyway.
So like I'll admit it to talk about this hurricane because this is something I've lived with all my life. And people that do what I do, they're kind of, I don't say amateur fanatics about this, have always known that the disaster syndrome, the worst place, worse than New Orleans, worse than Mobile, worse than Houston, is Tampa. And all I ask you to do is look at a map of Tampa Bay, and you can see that the water is going to have a hell of a difficult time getting out. All right. And it's 3.5 million people just in Tampa, And I'm not counting Sarasota. Right. I'm not counting Fort Myers. I'm not counting, you know, I guess maybe Clearwater's in the Metroplex, but it's millions and millions of people, And, you know, if the hurricane, God forbid, I don't want anybody to get it, but the surge, and they're talking about a 15-foot surge. The highest surge I think ever recorded was at right at my house in Bay St. Louis, which is 26 feet, but that was unique. But 15-foot surge is going to be utterly, you know, Bay St. Louis is 10,000 people. Tampa's 3.5 million. Just it's hard to get around your head the magnitude of this disaster. It just is. And of course, what's going to happen is everybody's evacuated. All the emergency people are out. There's stories about the hospital is trying to put up a 15-foot wall around to protect them from surge. The healthcare workers there, but it's going to take some time to get to deploy the people that have to be deployed, do the rescue stuff, and find people. And of course, what they're going to do is they're going to, Fox is going to have 100 cameras that are going to go in advance and say, look at all this devastation, and the Biden people have no one here. And they're going to do that. Yep. Get ready for it. They're going to do that. And you know, when you're 15 feet underwater, I don't give a fuck who you are. You're going to look bad. You could be Abraham Lincoln. You could be Martin Luther, Nelson Mandela, or anything you, any person you want. You're going to look bad when you're underwater.
Biden White House, you better move quickly. And get someone there. No one would be better than Mitch Landrieu. Right. James, let me just take a minute to talk about Donald Trump. You know, he's like that river you've talked about in Louisiana. There is no bottom. One, he shows clear signs of cognitive decline. He's rambling rants at rallies, throwing in non sequiturs like the late, great Hannibal Lecter. He confused North Korea and Iran. He thought Janet Mills, the governor of Maine, was a man. I mean, he's 78 and he is losing it. If elected the last year of his term, he would be older than Joe Biden. He really is losing it. The one place, however, he is not losing it is when it comes to greed, putting his own financial interests above anything. Out there, if you all want to read one piece today, one piece, look at the Associated Press story that Trump bought. Trump, there's a Trump Bible now. This is, he's going to market his Bible, make money off of that. Well, he went and he ordered 120,000 of the Trump Bibles. He's going to sell them for $59.99, $1,000 if he signs them. Now, where were those Bibles made? Was it in Michigan or North Carolina or Arizona? No. You know where those Bibles were made, James? In China. 120,000 in China for $3 a Bible that he's selling for 60 or 1,000. It's the very place he loves to bash unless it's going to make money to him, for him. And that tells you how he would govern. If anything, if there's any place that can offer him some dough, he's going to be with them.
Of course. It's the only reason he bought them in China is because North Korea couldn't produce.
Right, right.
If they could have, he'd have bought them from North Korea. Hey, it's him. It's the people that believe that shit. You look at the story that Woodward came up with about him calling Putin 7 times and sending him COVID tests when no one could get one in the United States.
That's going to be my outrage. You're right.
Okay, no, you're right. I don't want to step on your outrage.
That's okay.
There's one thing that explains all of this, and I really genuinely believe this to be true. There is a P tape. I just hope that it comes out when we're still alive. But there is one. That's the only explanation for this.
Well, that Associated Press story on the Trump Bible
is unbelievable.
Everybody ought to get it. It's beautifully reported. They can't deny a thing. Cost $3, $120,000, and he's selling them for $60.
What about the $100,000 watch?
Yeah,
I mean, it's everything is a fraud. And what's amazing is they want to be lied to. The Oklahoma education, whatever the fuck he is, specified it where they couldn't buy any other thing but the Trump Bible. It had to have. Oklahoma wants to be frauded. Yeah. I can't tell you any other explanation for it. I mean, I feel sorry for hardworking people in Oklahoma that have some modicum of
and they're getting scammed.
The truth,
James, let me just add one more bit of actually unsettling news. The Cook Political Report moved the Wisconsin Senate race to a toss-up. The Badger State already has one right-wing nutbag in the Senate, in Ron Johnson. If Eric Hovde, this is the Republican candidate who for 17 years has lived in California. He's ethically challenged. He spews all kinds of MAGA bullshit. And now he's running on transgender issues, hoping that he can hurt Tammy Baldwin that way. For those of you who care, you know, contact our great guest from last week, Ben Wickler, the Wisconsin Democratic chair. It would be a disaster if that good state sends two right-wing nutbags to Washington.
I agree. And this guy said farmers don't work hard. He's a Orange County, California, Newport Beach banker. I mean, and by the way, I see in Pennsylvania when Dave McCormick was shorting stocks, Pennsylvania stocks. That's a guy who really believes in it a lot.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, can you believe? I mean, it's amazing given that. You know, you would think that would bother Ken Griffin and the Koch brothers and Paul Singer. Oh, it seems shit. Not to, as they're throwing, what, $100 million shit. Into that campaign.
Oh, Vic. Oh, don't get me started on that. What duplicitous frauds. Oh. We got time for the rest of the show. I got too many duplicitous frauds.
I agree. There. James and I are coming to Boston's Schubert Theater for a live show on November 2nd. Tell them about what we have planned, James.
Well, we have Doris Kearns Goodwin. How can you get a better guest than that, you know, right before the election? And my new fascination, Albert, is up. I did an event yesterday, I guess it was, in California, Santa Barbara, and John Meacham spoke before me and pointed out the election of 1868. And the Schuyler Colfax, I forgot what the guy's name was, I'll try to remember.
It was New York.
Yeah, was the worst, since Donald Trump is the only nominee of a major party who was worse than him. That's how bad he was. And you know what? It's kind of close, actually. And he got like 47.5% of the popular vote. He actually carried the white vote.
And running against Grant, right?
Running against U.S. Grant, who was the most popular, justifiably,
a
most
hero.
Well-known and popular person on Earth. The guy won a war. And I mean, but it does. And I want to talk to Doris about this, that we've had this staggering strain of bullshit and white supremacy. I'm sorry. It's just been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And the fact that that election was close is like, I mean, U.S. freaking Grant, Ron Chernow, Ron White, every biographer in the world has now come around. This might be one of the three greatest Americans of all time. Shit, he had to win it because Reconstruction allowed blacks to vote in the South. That's the only way he won the fucking election. He wouldn't have won it under 1850 rules.
Doris can go through Lincoln, she can go through Roosevelt, she can go through Kennedy, she can do everything. So it's going to be November 2nd, and all you have to do is go to politicon.com/tour and get your tickets for November 2nd at the Schubert Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. Don't wait. They're going fast, and we want to see as many of you there as we can. So head to politicon.com/tour now to get your tickets.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, James, if it's Silver State politics, the go-to is John Ralston of the Nevada Independent and the Ralston Report. John, it's so good to have you here. We want to do each week a look at a key battleground state, and there's no one we'd rather talk to in Nevada than you. The last couple elections, very close. I think what, 2.4%. Biden won by last time. Kamala Harris may need those 6 electoral votes. How does it stand today?
I think if you talk to either side, they'll both say it's within 1 point either way. I think Harris thinks she's up 1 point and Trump thinks he's up 1 point. But that doesn't really matter right now, Al. The only point that matters is that it's very close, that they're both going to be here this week. Harris is doing a town hall with Univision here, and Trump is coming to northern and southern Nevada. So they both believe what you believe, which is that those 6 electoral votes might matter.
Yeah, they might. Latinos could be as much as 20% of the vote. I think they were a little bit less than that last time. Biden got 60% in 2020. Republicans keep saying that they are cutting into that vote. What's your take?
I think they are right now. And polling, although polling, as both of you know, is very difficult in Nevada, polling does show it. But what has been true in Nevada every cycle that I've covered it for a long time is that that cohort of voters tends to make up its mind later than other cohorts of voters. Now, they're not monolithic, but, you know, we had in 2022 the Republican Senate candidate Adam Laxalt bragging in the summer that he was going to get 50% of the Latino vote, right? And he got in somewhere in the 30s. Now, the closer that number gets to 40 for Trump, the better it is for him. But I still don't believe, even though she has some weakness with Latino men and especially young Latino men, the Democrats are going to do a lot to change that in the last month.
Yeah, that's really important. You know, for Democrats, the two bulwarks in your state were the Harry Reid machine and the culinary workers. The culinary workers, I guess that union is still active and powerful. There is no Harry Reid. Is there a machine without him?
There is. And the same people who ran the machine while he was alive are running it now. Rebecca Lamb, who is one of the best operatives in the country, is still the overlord of the Reid machine. She's hired very, very good people to operate the levers of that machine. And so they still exist. Now, they can't raise quite as much money without Harry Reid putting the arm on people, but they can still raise enough to get the job done.
Well, I'm going to turn this over to James in a minute, but we've been having this discussion several times about ground games and whether they matter. Does the ground game matter in Nevada, and does one side seem to have the advantage?
Well, the Republican Party here, Al, has been a joke for many, many cycles, has had no ground game. And meanwhile, the Democratic Party, because of Rebecca Lamb and the Reid machine, has had a pretty formidable ground game. And you mentioned the Culinary Union. The Culinary Union, even as they switched over to mail ballots in 2020, has been able to get their members to vote in great numbers, which is obviously a big help to the Democratic ticket. The way I've looked at it, and I've said this to a couple of people, is if you think that there is a tie now in Nevada, which is pretty close to what it is in Nevada, the ties generally go to the Democrats because of the ground game.
James.
So, John, I'm going to get to you some serious stuff because there's plenty of serious things I want to talk about. But I'm fascinated by some of the ancillary characters in Trump world. And my favorite might be a Nevada Republican named Michelle Fiore. Am I pronouncing her name right? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about this bill? Because, I mean, when somebody said of her, it was 2 shots and a panty drop. I couldn't stop it. Greatest quote in the 21st century politics. But tell us what our pal Michelle has been up to these days.
Well, what she's been up to is just a few days ago getting convicted on federal fraud charges. And it's really, really a sick thing too, James. And she raised money for a statue to commemorate a fallen officer, and then she pocketed the money and used it for her daughter's wedding. But she has been a huge supporter of Trump from the beginning. She was a Republican National Committee woman for a while. She was there defending the Bundys and in their complaints against the federal government. She's run for a bunch of offices and lost. When she finally lost her last race, she went into a rural county and got appointed as a judge, even though she has never been to law school. So this is the kind of person, you know, and she has run commercials with guns, and she has a gun calendar. And so it is impossible to caricature her, James. It's impossible.
It is. I just have to tell you, when you need some relief, check this person out. I can't. I know. And they, when they had Sharon Angle, we talked about Second Amendment solutions, Harry. So,
James, tell us how you spell her last name so all of our listeners.
Let John, F-I-E, oh, I don't know. Okay.
F-I-O-R-E.
F-I-O-R-E.
Terrific.
You don't want to miss Michelle. She's endlessly entertaining. So Trump famously went to Nevada and talked about exempting tips from taxes, and then Harris, I guess, felt like she had to. Was that the culinary workers, or who planted that seed in his brain?
That's a really good question, James. He claims that he was approached by a waitress. Now, whether this waitress is, as many things are, a figment of Trump's imagination or not, I don't know. But they have never produced her. You would think if a waitress actually said you should do this, they would have had her in an ad or a press conference. But he says he got the idea here. As you know, and you alluded to it, about a month later, Harris came on board. There are all kinds of difficulties with that policy. It's not that simple. But I have to tell you, James, the fact that they're doing this campaign to write it on your receipts when you pay your bill and say no taxes on tips, the goal, of course, is to peel away some of the rank and file, even though the culinary and the other unions here have endorsed Harris, you know this as well as anybody. Sometimes the rank and file don't do what the leaders tell them to do. And so I think it's an interesting play because I think they figure if they can peel away enough of the rank and file, that helps them win the state.
I think it's actually valid. I mean, look at the Teamsters Union. They can't move because of rank and file for Trump. And, you know, a lot of the building trades have had the same issue. But we're not going to solve this. One of the things that DeMasto's people thought, and I was pretty close to them, is that the abortion issue kind of saved a lot of the Hispanic vote for them. That Hispanic women are as pro-choice as anybody else. And do you see abortion still playing a big role in the outcome in Nevada?
I think potentially it could, James. As you know, Catherine Cortez Masto used that issue very effectively against Adam Laxalt, although you can't always get as lucky as to have your Republican opponent caught on tape saying Roe versus Wade was always a joke, which that genius Laxalt did. But nevertheless, they are using that again. And what the Democrats have done here, even though in 1990, they cemented the 24-week statute with a referendum. They decided to do another referendum to put it into the Constitution this time. And that has been very effective, I think. They've gotten a lot of publicity for that. And so if this race, as I believe it is very close, that could help the Democrats at the margins. How much? I don't know. But it's also become a huge issue in the Senate race here in Jackie Rosen versus Sam Brown, because Sam Brown has had to be generous and evolving position on abortion. And Rosen has run a ton of media about abortion. And so I think it's going to be a factor. All the polling shows were a 2-1 state on abortion. That's what it was in 1990. That's what it is in 2024. So I think they know what they're doing.
I hate predictions, but I'm going to ask you to make one. Will Rosen run ahead of Harris? I'm not asking if either one will win, but who do you think will get a higher percent? Percent, not total vote, percent.
Is this off the record? No, I'm kidding.
right. We're always wrong, but that's who cares.
The truth, yeah, exactly. The truth is I make these predictions every cycle a few days before the election, but I will tell you that I think the answer to that question is yes. How far ahead? I don't think it's as much as the polls have been showing, but I think she will run ahead of Harris. Now, I find this somewhat mysterious, James, in the sense that who are these Trump-Rosen voters? It's kind of bizarre. And I think I've come to the conclusion that there may be people voting. You know, we have this crazy thing in Nevada. None of these candidates on the ballot. And some of these folks who are voting for neither of them may be voting for Rosen as well.
It reminds me, before I turn up, 1987, I was working in a race in Kentucky, and the former governor, Julian Carroll, told me he was undecided between Dukakis and Pat Robertson. And I said, "Governor, you're the only son of a bitch in America that's caught between Pat Robertson and Mike Dukakis. Go ahead, Al."
You know, John, I'm going to pick up on that, because 6 months, 9 months ago, if you wanted to list the most endangered Democratic Senate Democrats, Jackie Rosen would be in the top five. And you're right. We'll see what happens Election Day. But no Democrat here puts her in the top five or six. I mean, they think it's a done deal. Whether it is or not, we don't know. What's happened? Is it she's been better than expected, or Sam Brown hasn't been as good?
I think both. Al, first of all, if I can, a little bit of context here. One of the products of the Reid machine's decimation of the Republicans since 2008 has been a lack of a bench here for the Republicans to get a really high quality candidate to run for an office like U.S. Senate. And so Sam Brown, who has a great personal heroic story to tell, badly burned, and he tells that story a lot. But he was in Texas just a few years ago, right, running and losing, moved to Nevada, ran for the Senate against Laxalt last time and lost pretty badly in the primary, although he did raise a lot of money. That was the best they can do. But they still had high hopes, because Jackie Rosen is not a dynamic senator. She's more of a work behind the scenes kind of senator. But she has proven to be a formidable fundraiser, and her media has been superb. And Sam Brown's campaign just has not been nearly as good. And there is no poll internally that I've heard of or publicly that shows Sam Brown within 5 or 6 points. And some, there have been some double-digit leads for Jackie Rosen. Though I don't believe in this state that a U.S. Senate race is going to be a double-digit race, but it could be close to a margin of error race.
Yeah. Republicans think they have a shot in a couple House races out there to unseat incumbent Democrats. Do they?
No. I think they pulled out of their money a long time ago.
Right.
Again, there are second or third tier candidates in that, in those races, Al, for the reasons that I have articulated already about the bench. Now, Mike Johnson was in town over the weekend to do kind of like a nod towards a couple of those candidates, did events for them. He was really here to do an event for an October 7th remembrance event with the Republican Jewish Coalition. But they're spending no money here, Al. So Listen, I think that the NRSC in the Senate race is still holding out some hope. They pulled all their money, but they claim they're coming back with hybrid ads, as they are in a few other places, but they haven't made the buys yet. The House, they're spending no money, the National Republican Congressional Committee, like none. The three competitive races in southern Nevada, Mark Amaday is going to win in northern Nevada. He's the Republican.
Yeah. John, James asked you about the abortion issue and the impact it would have. Let me ask you about another hot issue, immigration. How does it cut there?
Well, you know, going all the way back to someone James mentioned earlier, Sharon Angle, Republicans have used immigration here, even though we're not a border state, because we have a proportionally large percentage of undocumented workers. And so that has become an issue in the state legislature, and it's become an issue in the Senate race to some extent. Sam Brown has tried to gain some traction with it, and Trump is running some immigration ads here. Listen, that's a base motivation issue for the Republicans, and that's all it is. Doesn't get much beyond that here. And so, again, it's so many. There's going to be so many straws on that camel's back, Al, at the end. I'm not going to be able to tell you probably right away which one broke it.
James.
So, John, talking about the Reid machine, I can tell you there's something that we're behind that you were involved in, so was Al, and that was the making of the film Carville Winning Is Everything Stupid, which came out of the mind of Susan McHugh, who was 30 years old and chief of staff. And she said she watched the war room and it inspired her, and she wanted to do one. And I said, great. And the next thing I know, we got a director, and we've raised millions of dollars all because of Susan's energy, and we were very pleased that you were part of the film, you know, so it was fun.
So I have to tell you, Al, that was one of the most fun times I've had. It was a long time ago, too, by the way. Yeah. James and I sat down at the Wynn and spoke for about an hour and a half and went back and forth and talked about all kinds of things. And that was way back then, by the way, James said bluntly to me that Biden shouldn't run. And this was at least a year and maybe more that before that. But I have to tell you, I am personally very, very hurt that James essentially got me cut from the film. It's very, very painful.
I know. I mean, really, you know, I mean, John, I thought you would be a star and you're just kind of a quick hit.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't even watch it, but I've heard from friends and from Susan that there's like a blip of me at the end or something. It's very painful for me to have to deal with it.
So the only thing I can tell you to make anybody feel better, there was 60,000 minutes of tape they had, and they got it down to 92. So if you got 30 seconds, you did pretty goddamn good. I got to tell you that.
I'm looking forward to seeing the film. I hear it's really quite good, and you're well deserving of it, James. And I really enjoyed that conversation. We had fun.
I mean, it was fun. It was good.
Hey, James, make a commitment. In the sequel, John will have a bigger part.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get down the way it works. I'd like people to sit there. Said, man, I stayed there for a goddamn hour. I didn't get nothing. So I have nothing to do with it.
John Ralston, you are a terrific guest. Everything we want to know about Nevada, we hear from you. We'll be in touch in the next 3.5 weeks. But thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
It's always great being with you guys. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. If you're in the New York area, into politics, and want an ultimate inside look on the 2024 election, get tickets to Carville, Winning is Everything, Stupid, a new documentary by Matt Tiernauer, in theaters starting October 11th. At the IFC Center in Manhattan, and then going nationwide. The film follows our very own James Carville through the current cultural and political landscape and delves into his marriage to Republican strategist Mary Madeline, offering an inside look at how they navigate their bipartisan life. And if you're looking for an unfiltered take on the state of politics, the Carville-Madeline dynamic and the drama of this election, you definitely want to get your tickets now. James and director Matt Tiernauer will be there after the screening for a Q&A on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. So get tickets now at carvilledoc.com/tickets. That's carvilledoc.com/tickets. For updates and some great behind-the-scenes content, follow James on Twitter at James Carville, and on his new TikTok, at Real James Carville. James on TikTok. James, how excited are you to be doing this live screening with your fans?
I'm very excited about the whole thing. I was, to tell you the truth, and we did great with the CNN thing. They did great. I'm told we like double our normal audience with it. And, you know, you're a big part of the film, and a lot of other people are, and I think it's a, I've been given credit. And Matt, you know, he worked in politics. He was a driver in the Mondale campaign. He was kind of Susan Estrich's assistant in the 88 Dukakis campaign. He worked for Vanity Fair. He covered a lot of politicians. And I think he was able to bring a different kind of eye to this. I really do. I mean, he was, but I think anybody, I encourage everybody to come and I'll tell you hello and we'll see you down to ISC Theater in Lower Manhattan Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. For sure.
Yeah, well, I'll say this about Matt, as well as politics. I know of two documentaries he's done, one on Roy Cohn and one on James Carville. And boy, does that show range. You can't get more of a range than that. It is carvilledoc.com/tickets. Carvilledoc.com/tickets. You won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, James, now for the outrage of the week. As you mentioned, Bob Woodward has a new book coming out, which, no surprise, has some headline revelations. One is that Donald Trump, as president, sent a big COVID testing machine secretly to Russian dictator Vladimir Putin. They weren't in abundant supply then, but he didn't want to ignore his pal. And since leaving office, Bob reports, he has stayed in telephone touch with Putin. Now, Mar-a-Lago went ballistic in denials, with Trump's mouthpiece, Stephen Chung, charging that Woodward literally made up these stories. He said, quote, he's a total sleaze, end quote, and a, quote, angry little man, end quote, threatened by Donald Trump suing him over a previous book. Mr. Chung, I don't know you, but let me give you just a little bit of advice. You're in way over your head, baby. Every time Bob Woodward writes a book, some subject denies something, invariably Woodward is on the mark. He has taken on fish so much bigger than you. If I were you, I'd just maybe keep quiet for a while, although maybe the Donald won't let you. As for fears of a Trump suit, get serious. Trump sues for attention, and it's only a matter of time before that frivolous suit is dismissed as the stunt that it is.
Now, the thing about Bob Woodward, he has tapes and the litany of people that have tried to take on Bob Woodward are now in a ditch is legendary. But you got to understand the Trump people, they don't give a shit. Okay? I don't know why this guy went through all of that to expose himself to the ridicule that he's going to get, because the Trump people, they want to be lied to. They don't care. I mean, it's just like you pointed out earlier, they buy the Bibles from China. They don't give a shit. He's stealing from them and they want to be stolen from. It's a phenomena that is vexing, perplexing, but it's real. It's real. And they demand that he steal from them, and he's accommodating their demand. I'll say that.
He sure is.
So my outrage is, these are my favorite ass wipes in modern America. The truth tellers, the Alan Dershowitzes of the world, the Jonathan Turdleys of the world. I can do no other. I must tell the truth. I mean, and right now, in contention to break, but I don't think the guy can try. I don't think he's talented enough to break into the Turdley Dershowitz thing, but try he is one Ellie Honig. You have to read Above the Law, by article by Joe Patrice, who delivers an intellectual ass-whipping to Mr. Honig of the First Order. But Honig...
What, James, say, James, repeat what it is again.
It's a site called Above the Law, and it's right. By a guy named Joe Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E. He was big time, I don't know, NYU, big law firm, but just destroys Ellie Honig on an intellectual basis. But that's not what's the work here. The whole, and you hear this a lot, and I'm going to say the name, you hear it a lot on the POTUS channel, and I like a lot of these guys. They can't help but tell the truth. I just have to say that I think that Trump's getting a bad deal from the legal system. Or you have to say, you have to admit, James, that these, you know, these are the kind of people that would have said that, James, you got to admit that Roosevelt was mean to the Japanese. He cut off the oil. And yeah, you ought to focus on what happened at Nanking, but there have been other atrocities. Look at slavery in the United States. Or you got to admit, James, even John Maynard Keynes said the treaties post-World War I were too harsh. These are the kind of fucking people that want to preen in front of you and strut and tell you how they can't help but be honest. They just have to call them like they see them. Oh, go fuck yourself, okay? All of you. The Constitution is at risk. The entire future of the country at risk. So don't tell me Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus, all right? Don't tell me that Franklin Roosevelt excluded farm workers from Social Security. All right, these are the assholes that run around, I'm better, I'm smarter, I'm more honest than you. I just have to call them like I see them. These are the kind of people that make me, they don't make me want to throw up. They make me actually throw up. And between now and Election Day, I'm on the look for these motherfuckers, and I'm going to call them out at every juncture. But you need to look up this massive Jonathan Turley, Alan Dershowitz, and maybe this guy, L.A. Hogan, needs to go nude on some Martha's Vineyard beach so he can be like his hero, Alan Dershowitz. What a fucking fraud. What a fraud.
You know, what has Honig and Turley really just, I mean, they're throwing hissy fits over the fact that Jack Smith, they released the Jack Smith case or much of the evidence against Trump for the January 6th insurrection. First of all, it was the judge that did that, but they're saying it was a month before the election. Oh. My God. You know why it was a month before the election? Because their heroes, Sam Alito and company, sat on that goddamn case for 6 months to make sure it wouldn't happen before the election. And then, you know, issued that horrendous decision, that Trump-friendly decision on immunity. And so, therefore, the case had to come out. Then the question was, do you go and do you know, does Jack Smith have anything or not? This could have been done 6 months earlier, Mr. Honig and Mr. Turley, but your guys prevented that.
Well, he struts around and, you know, I'm listening to 124 because there's a lot of strutters on there, let me tell you. They're warned, but Mr. Honig, you know, I'm sure he went to law review at some, you know, top three law school. Can I explain to you something, sir? Just humbly, it's a different branch of government that released that. It's not the executive branch; it's the judicial branch. It's in your fucking constitution. Why don't you take time to read it? Jesus, man, why I gotta live? Why am I sitting?
Well, he apparently is in the Tommy Tuberville school of separation of powers, James. Remember, now, Tommy said there were three branches of government: the executive, the legislative,
and
Congress.
We thought Rick Perry was stupid. Okay, let's not forget, because they're gonna forget Trump's response to Hurricane Maria. You know what he did? He threw paper towels at him. Yeah, he had some brawny paper towels, and that was his idea of hurricane relief. But we're going to have Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Jesse Waters, and oh, my God, look at their response. Oh, man, why do I have to put up with this shit at my age?
James, the Honig and Turleys have a first cousin. That's self-loathing Democrats who used to think they were something and now are not. Doug Schoen, a pollster, and Andrew Stein wrote a piece, you're not going to believe this, criticizing the response of the Biden administration to the hurricanes and comparing it to the good response by, are you ready, James?
Yes, go ahead.
By George Bush and Hurricane Katrina. And they wrote that with a straight face. That was what really was the beginning of the end of the Bush administration for any credibility. But, you know, I guess they need attention.
If I had to guess, I don't know, I can't factually, I think there's money involved here. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think there's money changed hands. I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Okay, James, now from our listener questions. They get better every week, especially as we get close to the election. Some of the questions we've covered in our chit-chat, but we got a lot of good ones coming in. Dr. Jeffrey in New Albany, Ohio says, why is it so hard to donate by check or volunteer without giving up so much personal information? The Democrats seem like they're turning down free time and money.
I think that's by law. Okay, I think that the disclosure laws, and I don't think the Democrats, you can donate to Republicans, they don't follow the law, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But my sister actually had an old program where she does compliance, which is a huge industry, but there's certain things you gotta disclose, your address, who you are, occupation, and I mean, I think it's designed so we know where the money is coming from. Of course, the super PACs do whatever they want. So, you know, we could go on and on about how screwed up campaign finance is. But to the good doctor in New Albany, I think they're just following the law.
No, I think that's right. My son's been involved in several campaigns, and they want to check and make sure that they're not getting money from someone who has a sleazy past, if you will, because then the opponent would use it against them. Now, of course, Dr. Jeffrey, that's because you are an honest contributor, but the dark money that this Supreme Court has allowed to take place, we have no idea who's giving that.
Right.
James next, early in Huntington Beach, California, says, will we ever literally or effectively eliminate the highly undemocratic Electoral College? Early, I agree with you on it being undemocratic. It would be good, I think, to eliminate it. Not going to happen. And it's a waste of time to worry about it or lobby about it or talk about it or editorialize about it, because any state that has less than the average number of electors doesn't want to eliminate it. I mean, if you're Nebraska, if you're South Carolina, or if you're Vermont, do you really want to eliminate the Electoral College? Probably not. So early, I'm with you. Substantively, politically, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, why is Tim Walz talking about this? Okay, it'd be great if you didn't have it. I mean, you got it. It's not going to change. Hey, more outrageous than Electoral College is 18% of the country elects 52 senators.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, it's the same principle, but you're right.
Right, but the Electoral College is much more reflective of the true will of the people than the Senate is by far.
Yeah.
But you know, that's not as sexy as the Electoral College. But I don't. It's not going to happen. It'd be probably a good idea if it did, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. And right. By anytime soon, I mean a long time.
James, here's one that is so down your alley. It's from John in Spring, Texas.
Okay.
Who says, when you see what LBJ and Sam Rayburn did for Texas, does it irritate you that Mike Johnson is too stupid to know his power and instead waste his time kissing Donald Trump's ass?
Well, you know, as my daddy once said, to live in Louisiana and be mad at stupidity is to be mad at grass. But, I mean, let's just say Mike Johnson is not Russell Long. Okay?
Yep.
Let's just say that he's not Eddie Abam. Or Hale Box or anything like that. But, you know, we've gone, if you think Mike Johnson is bad, take a look at Clay Higgins.
Oh.
I mean, and this was a place, Southwest Louisiana, in 1954, had two black city councilmen in Crowley, which is where Edwin Evans is from, where John Brooks from, part of Cajun country. But what they call SLI then, they call UL now, integrated in the late 50s without incident. Now it's become the most reactionary place in the United States. How all this happened, and how did we go from Hale Boggs to Mike Johnson I have no idea, but it's probably the greatest deterioration. Or Sam Rabin, Louis Gohmert. I mean, just think of how stupid these people are and how do people demand this level of stupidity? It's really disheartening. It's a good question.
It's hard to think of a state that has lost more clout than Louisiana. Yeah. And really effective. The senators were Russell Long, whether you agree with him or not, one of the great inside politicians in the history of the Congress. And Alan Ellender was the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. And you had not only Hale Boggs, but you had people like Gillis Long right. in the House. And you look at that sorry lot now, James, and it's really a shame
it's
for your state.
It is. I'd say it's embarrassing, but it's beyond embarrassing. And the people demand stupidity. And that's what the marketplace provides them.
Right. James Tisch in nearby Arlington, Virginia, says if Trump loses, how fast do you think he'll be dropped as the darling of the right by Fox, Capitol Hill Republicans, and voters? Tisch, if he loses by 3 or 4 points, he won't be dropped. Fox tried that last time, and he just whipped him back in. The only way he's going to be dropped is when it appears he's dead, and that's only if there's a big victory. So Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and all you guys are talking about writing in someone. The only chance you have to start to diminish his influence in the party, I'm not even sure that works, is a big Trump defeat. As long as he's considered the top dog by those right-wingers, Fox News is going to be there all along.
Absolutely.
James, the next is from Richard in New York City, who said it would seem easy for Harris to basically say Trump will be dominated by Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. Should she be stepping up the attacks on Musk?
So, no. And she shouldn't be stepping up the attacks on January 6th. She shouldn't be stepping up the false stolen election bullshit. The need to get the low-hanging fruit, which is Vance saying that Trump saved Obamacare. They need to be aggressive on these stupid tariffs. You know, they should put Obama out. Harris should say something, and President Obama ought to go out and talk about what happened. They ought to have Bill Clinton and all these secondary markets talking about how, explain to people why tariffs are a bad idea. I mean, you only have 4 weeks left. You can't chase everything. You got to chase a few things. And I'm getting kind of frustrated that they seem a little lethargic to me. I hope I'm wrong, but they big events really well. And then, and the storm is going to occupy everything here for the next a good 4 days. It's going to be the story that's going to drive everything. It's going to be hard to break through on anything. And they don't have a lot of time left. And it's uncomfortably close.
I share your concerns. She did okay on 60 Minutes. Trump was too chicken to do it. But there are answers that she can give that are more direct, that aren't hard. You know, I thought is it Bill Whitaker? Anyway, he did a very good job. And he kept saying, how do you pay for these programs? And she sort of ducked and bobbed and weed. It's simple. The way we pay for them, if it's a medical program, we pay for them by lowering the price that Medicare has to pay for prescription drugs. That's a saving. We're going to tax the rich. That's a saving. The 2017 Trump tax come up. We're going to give tax cuts to the middle class and not to the wealthy. But she sort of shies away from that. Anyway, I hope you're right. I think they have to be a little bit sharper.
This is something that I think they screwed up. It became, when are you going to do long-form journalism? When are you going to sit down and be questioned? When are you going to do Tim Russert? Okay. The problem with that is, if you do it, you don't get credit for it. Secondly, if you go on a show, you talk about what the questioner wants to talk about. That's the way 60 Minutes works. You talk about what you want to talk about. Don't talk about what they want to talk about. Talk about Obamacare. Bam. Talk about tariffs. Don't. It's always, well, if we do it, then they won't say things bad about us. Yeah, they're not going to say anything good. Of course, like what she said, she didn't have a way to pay for it. You are You are letting someone else set your agenda. And I could see this coming. And the whole thing became the test of candidatehood or whatever it is to sit there and be grilled for 30 minutes. Well, do one of those and that's enough. Get out of that. Do what you want to do. Bring up the issues you want to bring about. Have the surrogates you want out there to talk about them and quit fucking responding to what other people want. I'm serious. I'm very passionate about this. I'm getting increasingly pissed off about it.
Okay. Listen up, Harris campaign. Next is Brett in Palo Alto, California, who asked, does ground game still matter in an age of social media messaging and propaganda? I contend not nearly as much. You know, Brett, I hope you listened to last week's show with Ben Wickler, who says in Wisconsin, he thinks it could matter by as much as a point. And if you want to look at what a point means, I just want you to look last time at Wisconsin and Arizona and Georgia and even North Carolina, and you'll see the difference of a point. So I think it does matter. Whether it matters as much as it did 30 years ago, you can debate. But and I think we're going to see on November 5th that it matters.
So we talked about this, and I think the number of conversations I've had about what matters. Okay, we know fundraising matters. There's earned media, but that was a term we used to use for like being in a Al Hunt column in the Wall Street Journal or something, all right? Or paid media account. Or does field count? Does direct mail count? Oh, no, you know, now it's, you know, digital, whatever. And I just came to a conclusion way too late in life. Everything matters. It's a great book by Skip Bertman, of course, you know, LSU homer, baseball coach, said baseball, everything matters. And, if, you know, we weren't very good. The first thing he did, he went and cleaned out the bathrooms in the stadium. Now, you say, what does clean the bathroom say? Well, maybe a shortstop will drop a grounder in the eighth inning. If you just say, you know, what matters? Pitching more than hitting, fielding more than base running. Who the shit? Think about that later. Do everything as well as you can do it. And I do think, you know, whether Ben's right, it's a point or it's a half a point or whatever, it's worth something. God damn it, do it and do it well.
Yeah, I've got to do a class for Wake Forest in Washington with my dear friend Mike Tackett this week. And the issue is paid media or earned media, which is more effective. Depends on the campaign. There's no question that the so-called free media that Donald Trump got in 2016 was decisive. There are other cases where, you know, paid media, if you control it and people do it well, I think of you in New Jersey in 1988, James, that matters. I think it's hard to say it's either or.
I think, you know, Mark Shields taught me very early that if you're doing, I call it earned media, I don't know, whatever you call it, it's not, and you're doing paid media, the two should have some commonality.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to present one image in the press and another image on TV. And I think that was sound advice.
Yep.
And you want to try to the extent you can. You obviously have total control on what you do in a television spot. You don't have total control over what's going to get printed or reported, but you have some control.
Yeah.
What you say is important.
James, our final question is from Chris in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Who says, my daughter insists that because the differences between the presidential candidates are so stark, there are no undecided voters. Chris worries only people who plan to vote for Trump but are embarrassed to say so. What do you think?
I think that there are probably fewer, let's say undecided, I don't know, let's say loosely aligned voters. They're probably, I agree, there may be fewer than they have been traditionally, but they matter more because the election is so close. And again, if you try to discern, do I go after undecideds or do I go after base voters? You got to go after everything. And there are many, many messages, by the way, that are consistent with undecided, loosely aligned voters and base voters. How about taxes over, incomes over $500,000 a year? That'll get you about 82% approval.
Yep.
So The dance is, I don't know, no one knows what happens to undecided voters, but did it evaporate or where infinity, where all the parallel lines meet? I have no idea, but there are some, and you got to keep hustling them as best you can.
Yep, absolutely. So, tell your daughter, Chris, that probably, the so-called silent Trump vote, the hidden Trump vote, clearly a factor in 16, a factor a little bit less so in 20. I think the general conventional wisdom, the pollsters I talked to, not as much this time. We'll see.
Maybe. I mean, usually, one of my little tricks, I think it still works. If you see a poll that has undecided of higher than 7, you'd kind of throw it out.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be lower than that. Probably now it wouldn't be more than 3, but, who knows? We can't, again, I go back to what I say, how can we know what matters more than this? Just do everything as well as you can do it.
Right. Okay, Chris, tell your daughter, all right? Please keep those questions coming in the next couple of weeks. We'll get to as many as we can. If we didn't get to yours this week, we'll try to get to them next week. Hey, thanks for listening to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. Remember, to get your tickets for the Politics War Room tour, James and I are bringing the podcast to you live on stage at Boston Schubert Theater on November 2nd, right before the election. You can get tickets at politicon.com/tour. We can't wait to see you there. As always, send your questions for us by email to politicswarroom@gmail.com or tweet them for next week's show at Politicon. Following this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you check out the links to our sponsors, ExpressVPN, Miracle Made, and The Washington Post, and our episode show notes. We thank you for supporting them because when you do, it helps make this podcast happen. Now, to keep up with us, subscribe to Politics War Room on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, or check out our Substack at politicswarroom.com. James and I are constantly adding new content. Go take a look. You can also find other shows you might enjoy on the Politicon YouTube channel or when you search Politicon on your favorite podcast sites. And remember, please rate the show with a 5-star review. We'll be back next week with another show as we continue our War Room planning.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.